2 weeks ago, we looked at Matthew 6, verse 9, verse number 10, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And in verse number 9, the Christ said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." And we looked at the phrase, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Thy kingdom come, it's a cry of faith. It is one that is resting in the just and righteous acts of God. One who understands how God will reign. Yesterday, many people voted. You know, maybe they trusted, they had more trust in one candidate than they had in other candidates. Well, we have one that we can perfectly trust, and that is the God of heaven. And we are to pray, "Thy kingdom come." We are looking for a different kingdom. We are citizens of another country. It's a cry of the godly. In the book of Revelation, who wants God's kingdom to come? The ungodly are the ones that are being judged. You know, God sends the great hailstones, the ones that a talent of weight. I believe it's between 7,500 pounds, somewhere in there. And yet for all this, they repent not. They don't want God's reign. It's a cry of the godly. It's a cry of those that are saved. It's "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." It's a cry of surrender. As we come before the Lord in prayer, we ought to come with hearts that are surrendered. Hearts that want God's will to be accomplished. We see the pattern of our Savior, not "Thy will." Not "my will," but "thine be done." As we come to prayer, is it in the manner of God's will being accomplished? Whose will are you seeking after? It's a cry of obedience. "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Is there that obedience in your heart that you want God's will to be perfectly carried out upon this earth, even as it is in heaven? You know, maybe you're praying for a mate. Or maybe parents, you're praying for a godly mate for your children. Do you want God's perfect will to be accomplished in your life? Verse number 11 says, "Give us this day our daily bread." So in verse number 10, it begins by really addressing that God's will be done. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." The focus is on God. And now there is this petition for our daily needs. "Give us this day our daily bread." Here I see a dependent cry. A cry of dependence. "Give us this day our daily bread." You know, we live in a land of prosperity. I wonder, when's the last time that you requested for God to meet a daily need? Maybe even if you think particularly of the area of food. When's the last time that you just recognized that, you know what? Everything that I even eat is a provision of God. And obviously we thank the Lord at our meals. And we recognize that He has provided it. But how often do we really sit back and say, "Boy, I need God to provide." You know, James 1 verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above." Cometh down from above. Every good thing that we enjoy in life is a result of God and His goodness. You know, are we daily, are we praying? Are we recognizing every day that we are dependent upon God? You know, there's three aspects to this dependent cry. There's the aspect of humility. We can't do it. We need God's working in our daily lives. You might have a great job, but you know what? That job could be gone tomorrow. And you need God's intervention in your life to provide for you. It's not because you're great. You know, we live in a day in which, you know, we believe in the free market system and the freedoms and things like that. And yes, people need to learn to work. You don't want people, you know, relying on, you know, the phrase maybe, you know, the government and their power. But at the same time, we need to realize that we are dependent upon God. And as believers, we must never lose that dependency. It takes the humility to recognize, you know what, we need God. We need God's grace in our lives. It's trust. Give us this day. You're going to go to the one that you recognize can and will provide for you. But there's also the aspect of priorities. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, what does the chapter say at the end? Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It's really, there's the aspect of priority in this cry of dependence. If you want the provision of those daily necessities of life, give us this day our daily bread, then it's really a cry of one who has the right priorities. You really have no right, in a sense, to come to God and say, give us this day our daily bread. Provide for these needs, unless you're putting God first in your life. But when God is first, has first place in your heart, in your priorities, daily bread, those necessities of life are something that you can depend on God for. It is a cry of priorities. We can get going in our life thinking sometimes that things are going to continue as they appear. Maybe things seem to be fine. You can look at a situation and say, boy, that looks great, and automatically assume that things are going to be okay and forget about God's working in your life. One example, in the Old Testament, the Egyptian army. You know, the Egyptian army came to the Red Sea. And what did they see? They saw a dry pathway that they could get across. What did the Egyptians see taking place in the land of Egypt? What did they see in the land of Egypt? They had just seen the 10 plagues, hadn't they, take place. They saw God's working on behalf of the children of Israel. And if you look back in Exodus chapter 14, it says as the Egyptian people went after the children of Israel, what did God do? It says that God hardened their hearts. They hardened their hearts. They were unresponsive, really, to God's working on behalf of His people. And when they came to the Red Sea, it took faith on the part of the children of Israel to cross the Red Sea. They had to trust God. But the Egyptians crossing the Red Sea was a result of a hardened heart because they did not see God's working on the behalf of His people. You know, many times we don't see God's working because our hearts have been hardened. And we are not living in daily dependence upon God because we don't see His hand at work. And we begin to think that it is a result of something that we have done. You know, the Egyptians put themselves in a very dangerous place because they did not recognize God's working on the behalf of his people, and they stepped into a place and the walls came crashing down because God was the one that had moved those waters into that position. You know, today, do you have that dependent cry? Give us this day our daily bread. Is there that daily dependence upon God? Do you daily recognize that your job, every aspect of the needs that you have, the only way they can be provided for is because of God? Now, obviously, God has principles. You read the book of Proverbs. There's aspects of hard work. There's all those things involved. But ultimately, it is because of his working in your life. And this is the manner in which we are to pray, in daily dependence. It's a dependent cry, but we also see it is a daily cry. It's a continuous cry. Give us this day our daily bread. Each day is new. Each day brings with it new necessities. You know, if we think of this, you know, in if you read in the book of Psalms, you find that the psalmist cried on a daily basis. Psalm number 68 and verse 19. And this is at more the other end of it, the daily blessing. We'll get to the verses, I guess, that comes next in the daily crying. But Psalm 68:19, a familiar verse. Blessed be the Lord who what? Who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. You know, God is daily working in our lives. Are you daily looking to him to work? Psalm 86 and verse number 3, and this is the verse example of the psalmist daily. He says, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I what? I cry unto thee daily. Psalm number 88 and verse 9. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. And then in Proverbs chapter 8, which the chapter on wisdom, in Proverbs 8 and verse 34, it says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door. Now here, these are more maybe in a sense of spiritually daily are speaking with God. But obviously, I mean, here and in Matthew 6, the idea of the daily needs that we need to present before God. But it's in the context of prayer. After this manner, pray ye. There ought to be a daily recognition of our dependence upon God. It is a daily cry. This is the manner in which our Lord said to pray. Are we daily coming before him, recognizing our complete dependence upon him? We find it is a simple cry. Give us this day our what? Our daily bread. It's not a prayer of extravagance. You know, give us this day our beautiful big house with all the toys that we want. Art, it's our daily bread. You know, what are you content with this evening? In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 8, what ought we to be content with? It says, in having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. You know, God's presence ought to be that which brings satisfaction and contentment in our lives. Verse number 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, what is the ultimate goal in our life? What is the ultimate satisfaction in our life? It's the presence of God. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, we don't need to be getting caught up with all the things that this world is seeking to show us that we need. You know, the list is growing. The daily necessities of life are getting greater and greater. And the more, you know, the further advanced we get into society, you know, the more things we're probably going to need to survive. But ultimately, you know, the Bible presents it, food and raiment. Let us therewith be content. You know, if you had a technology fast in your life, what would happen? You know, could you handle it? You know, could you handle going a whole day without some of those things? Going a whole week? Obviously, I mean, for certain jobs and things, it's necessary for your work and different things. But some people, it may not be necessary for your work. You know, we just live in a society that we constantly, and those things are beneficial, they have their purposes, but we have to be careful that we don't fall into a place in life in which we think we can't survive without this. You know, really the only thing we can't, the only one we can't survive without is God. And he will provide everything we need. Philippians 4 and verse 11, Paul said that I have, you know, learned whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be what? To be content. Give us this day our daily bread. We don't have to be worrying about the future. It's the daily bread. The day provision, the provision that we need. You know, the Bible says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You don't need to sit here today and say, oh no, how am I going to pay for college 6 months from now? You know what? There's enough things to worry about. There's enough evil, so to speak, in today's day to worry about without worrying about something in the future. You know, casting all your care upon him, for he what? He careth for you. You're alive right now. You know, you probably had something to eat today. You know, unless you're fasting, you probably, you know, all of you, you know, we live in a country in which, you know, you probably didn't have to wear the same pair of clothes all week long. You know, we have so much to be thankful for. And it's just a simple cry. Give us this day our what? Our daily bread. Are you satisfied with the simple things of life? Are you able to see God's goodness all throughout your life, all the things that he has provided? Is there that daily dependence upon him? You know, and then it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, some people might automatically, and it's maybe easy to think, oh boy, here we go. This is not based on grace, because it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Well, first of all, the first part of this prayer says what? After this manner, therefore, pray ye. It says, our Father. All right, this person already has a relationship with God settled, doesn't he? Our Father which art in heaven. Okay, another thing here, we find, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This person wants a right relationship with God. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us. You know, this could maybe be used in a general sense of our offenses before God. This is a cry of one that wants a right relationship with God. He recognizes his indebtedness before God. There really is nothing he can do. It is God that must satisfy them. But he says, forgive us our debts. He wants that right relationship as we forgive our debtors. It's one that keeps, it's a cry of one who keeps a right relationship with others.
You know, it really shows this is this day-to-day relationship. He just said in verse number 11, give us this day our daily bread. All right, it's a daily, continuous cry. You know, one that wants a right relationship with God is going to keep a right relationship with others. You know, how many of you tonight could say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors? This automatically is going to rule out bitterness in your life. This is automatically going to rule out holding a grudge in your life. You know, this is a cry of one that keeps a right relationship with others. Doesn't hold on to things. This isn't talking about salvation here. Forgive us as we forgive our debtors. This is talking about that daily relationship with God. And if we're going to keep that daily relationship with God, it says, the cry of one says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I mean, this one is what? They're keeping a right relationship with others. And as we go to prayer this evening, you know, if you have bitterness or a grudge or something that you're holding against others, well, you don't have a right relationship with God. And you're going to have a hard time coming before Him in prayer. You know, there's the illustration of forgiveness. There was the man in the Word of God that was forgiven such a great debt. But yet he wasn't willing to do what? Forgive this small debt with someone else. You know, really that's the perspective that we need to have. Is that we have this huge debt before God. And there's this little small thing over here. And really, in a sense, how gracious God would be to forgive us as we forgive others. Do we keep that right relationship with others? As we come before God in prayer tonight, are those lines open with others? Christ said, after this manner, pray ye. And I hope as we consider these things, that as we come before God in prayer, that we will realize that this is the manner that God has commanded us to pray. You know, we shouldn't just pray any way we feel like it. But we need to pray according to the manner that our Lord has laid upon us. And as we think of that daily dependence that we have upon Him, as we come into prayer this evening, there is nothing about us. We are completely dependent upon God for every need that we have. And He wants us to bring those needs before Him as we come to Him as our Father. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You would help us to pray, Lord, in a manner that would be pleasing to You. Lord, we have been so blessed in the country in which we live. And Lord, we can be very easily tempted to become self-sufficient. We can very easily be tempted to think that we deserve something. Lord, but tonight may we recognize that we don't deserve anything. Lord, may we recognize that we are completely dependent upon You. And Lord, even as we think of the great spiritual needs that are in front of us, Lord, You want Your will to be done. And Lord, we pray that we would recognize that in each one of these lives tonight that have been requested prayer for, Lord, you want your will to be accomplished in them. Lord, I pray that we would have hearts that are truly seeking to see your will accomplished here in this community and in the surrounding areas. Lord, in our day-to-day lives, may we simply be looking to you. And may we be satisfied with your provision. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.